KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Our guest on today's KBOO News In Depth is Portland writer and teacher Susie Vitello. Susie is the coordinator and one of the founders of a long-running writing workshop that has its roots in Tom Spanbauer's Dangerous Writing Seminar. Susie's workshop colleagues include a who's who of authors including Chuck Palahniuk, Cheryl Strayed, Chelsea Kane, Lydia Yuknovich, and Monica Drake. If you have a manuscript in progress, there's a unique opportunity to plug into all that talent, experience, and knowledge through Susie. She'll be teaching a three-day writing workshop starting this Friday, March 9th. It's called Diving Deep into Seeing Find the Hidden Treasure in Your Narrative, and it's offered through Portland's Corporeal Writing Program. Susie's in the studio now to tell us more about corporeal writing and her upcoming workshop. Susie, thanks for coming into KBOO.
Thanks for having me, Ken.
Susie, first, can you tell us a little bit about that amazing workshop? I mentioned some of the authors in there. How did it get started, and what's the process you follow when presenting and critiquing the work?
Well, it's been wonderful. You know, we've been together on and off maybe 15 years or so. We core members, Chuck and Monica and I, were all in Tom Spanbauer's writing workshop. And he, you know, took ill, and we decided to keep going. And so, you know, we met at different people's houses and all kinds of venues over the years. And we added people to our workshop, too. And so we have all kinds of genres that we look at. And, you know, it's just been wonderful, very supportive. How we work is we bring pages to the table, like in Tom's workshop, and we hand them out. And then the writer reads them out loud, and then right there, off the cuff, you know, we give our critique.
And very constructive, gently given critiques, I guess.
Yeah, right. No.
I've heard varying input on that.
There have been times where people have excused themselves to go to the bathroom and cry, you know, myself included. But, but you know, so much amazing work has come out of that workshop. So there's no denying that. But what's wonderful is outside of the workshop, we really continue to be very supportive of one another. You know, the Chuck had those marvelous bedtime stories that he did, and, you know, all over the country. Today, actually, there's a long form article about that from Monica Drake. So you can look it up. If you follow Monica Drake on Twitter, you can kind of find that.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Now, I mentioned Tom Spanbauer. It's Spanbauer, though?
Spanbauer, you know, German.
Okay. Tom Spanbauer. Yeah. And that's a very famous seminar that he gives, the Dangerous Writing Workshop. Do you use some of those concepts and guidelines in your workshop, or is it kind of doctrine-free?
Well, you know, Tom has imparted so much of his wisdom to us, it's hard not to use some of those concepts. Things like writing from the body, from the experience of the physical, and staying away from conceptual language, you know, things like that. And Lydia, even though she didn't study with Tom, that's also her paradigm. And so we continue, you know, it's a good sort of a leap from Tom's workshop to work under the auspices of Lydia Yuknovich in her corporeal writing workshops, because it's a similar approach to writing.
And I was just going to ask about that, because your writing workshop, which starts again Friday, it's a three-day workshop, is under the auspices of corporeal writing, Lydia's company and her program. You mentioned Tom's concept of writing from the body. How would you describe corporeal writing?
It's body-centric for sure, but it's also a little bit different than usual methodology and workshop in that it's collaborative. That's a very important part of it. It's not a guru, you know, top-down sort of model. It's, you know, you all get around the table, and you all have input, and you're all looking at the pages as equals, and that, you know, it makes for a kind of a little bit of a different experience than, say, the MFA, you know, kind of experience.
Where you have the kind of the teacher, right, and the teacher is kind of at the very top of that hierarchy there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I see it more as being a guide, and you're there to sort of be this encouraging presence And maybe, you know, there's a little bit of information you can impart, but so much magic happens when you have those pages down on the table and you're all invested in each other's work. And I'm really looking forward to teaching this weekend.
Yeah, so the workshop is called Diving Deep into Seeing, Find the Hidden Treasure in Your Narrative. What will you be covering in the workshop, and who's the intended audience for this writing workshop?
Well, what I'm hoping to do this weekend is sit with the writers and their drafted work that they maybe already have. I'm hoping that we can get into some things that have already been created so that we can look as a community. We'll brainstorm places of opening and diving a little bit deeper into the prose that exists.
And that's a fiction and nonfiction.
Fiction and nonfiction. Correct. Yeah. Places, you know, we'll look at places of deepening and follow that exploration. But we're also going to tap into the basics while considering more of the abstract story-making concepts like plot and pacing and character developments and so on, and sort of looking at them from a different angle, maybe a different filter than is typically looked at. We'll filter those more intellectual concerns through the body, whether by exploring lyrical sounds or sensual detail or emotional expansion, the things that the pub world calls feels, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a version of basically showing versus telling, but it's mm-hmm. the corporeal version of it.
And it, by feels, do you mean a writing that kind of evokes all five senses? And...
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That goes more to the heart of the reader than the brain of the reader. You get a physical, visceral, emotional response more than an intellectual one.
Now, I read the workshop description. It mentions you'll be studying published literary passages in addition, of course, to the students' work mm-hmm. and discussing, it says here, narrative options, voice, and scene. Mm-hmm. Can you give us an example maybe of a passage that you'll be covering and kind of what you're looking at in that passage?
I've become such a huge fan of Lenny Zumas or Red Clocks.
Oh, yes. And, that's a recent book.
And I didn't bring the book with me here, but there's so many passages that I have outlined that I'd love, that I'm going to be sharing as examples of how to connect with the body through lyrical writing.
What are some of the techniques that you use or impart to get, a student coming in mm-hmm. who you would regard their work as not necessarily connecting with the body? How would you get them to become more corporeal in their writing?
You know, it's interesting. It's kind of a case-by-case basis. When I work with people, I generally look for, sections of conceptual language, you know, where there's some summary, for instance. And I say, well, how can we unpack that instead of sort of being, you know, distanced from the reader in this sort of, you know, kind of very intellectualized way? How can we get closer to, how can we cozy up to the reader? How can we unpack the terms that, you know, we're using that are more abstract, you know, like even things like measurements, for instance. Today I was working with I was editing somebody and he was describing being on this tram. And he was in the tram, had this horrific accident, and his face was, you know, he's down on this tram, and he said, I was 10 inches away from this man who was dying. And I know, it's a really intense and beautiful essay.
This is nonfiction.
It's nonfiction, yeah. And 10 inches is kind of an abstract concept. Mm-hmm. So we're thinking, well, what are ways to make that more sensual? What about I was, you know, a handprint away from the man who was dying? That sort of thing.
Smell a certain smell about
exactly.
him.
Exactly.
We kind of feel his senses. Breath on your cheek or something like
right.
that.
Right. I mean, basically it's taking conceptual language and making it more visual or visceral. You know.
And that puts the reader into the scene a bit more than
absolutely.
Kind of this higher level of just description.
Yeah, yeah. So it's enrolling the reader, cozying up to the reader, basically, language that does that.
We've mentioned that the writers, I think that's a prerequisite. They should bring a passage or a manuscript with them, at least a section of a manuscript, something they've been working
yes.
on. And I know there are some writers who do these meticulous first drafts. They won't write another word until every sentence before that is perfect. Mm-hmm. And then there are those, I think maybe the majority, who put down anything they can just to get rid of that blank page. And then it's very rough and raw and maybe looks nothing like the final version. How do you work with those different types? And of course, there's everything in between, I guess.
Right.
How do you work with those different types of writers on drafts and revision?
Well, you know, first of all, I think if somebody is coming to a workshop, they're open, right? They're open for, you know, seeing it a different way. And so whatever form or, you know, stage the work is in, I think the collaborative element comes in and you get this sort of beautiful zeitgeisty brainstorming kind of energy that happens when you're
this group mind.
Yeah. And I think, you know, another aspect of sort of mastering writing is to know when to say, when to know when something doesn't apply to the writing, you know, and to say, well, this, you know, this isn't going to work for me and to figure out why that won't too. So it's not like every idea that comes to the table needs to be absorbed, mm-hmm. you know, but we do a good deal of listening at corporeal writing.
And then, of course, it's up to the writer to decide what suggestions they want to incorporate in their revision.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, you mentioned that the teacher, you in this case, you're not up there as the all-high grand poobah. You're part of guiding the process not imposing.
Right. I mean, I hope not. You know, I mean, my intention isn't to do that. My intention, I can get bossy sometimes, I have to admit, you know, after years and years. But I'm going to try not to be super bossy and just sort of lead and guide and show examples of things. And then if people think that resonates with them, you know, maybe they can take it further into another direction. You know, that's my favorite thing about working with people is to collaborate and then within that collaboration, sometimes this whole new epiphany is just released into the air, you know, and then it becomes something else.
And I should say, Susie, I don't have all the quotes here, but I've read quotes from people like Chuck and Lydia and Chelsea mm-hmm. and Monica about how instrumental you were in their writing.
Oh,
Cheryl
that's
very
Strayed. Sweet.
So I think this is an incredible opportunity for writers out there in Portland to get this kind of expertise in a 3-day workshop. I did want to talk a little bit about your work, and we have some time to do that. You have written several young adult novels, and I've got one here, The Moment Before. There's also the Empress Chronicles Book 1, and then there's a book called The Keepsake, which is actually Book 2 mm-hmm. in an Empress Chronicles trilogy. Will that be
I'm hoping.
Multi-volume set.
Yeah.
Multi-volume narrative.
Right.
In light of the recent shootings at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, and mm-hmm. we talked quite a bit about that during the news, I want to talk briefly about the first book here, The Moment Before. The book tells the story of how a high school girl deals with grief after the death of her older sister, and she's just about 8 months older. Here's a quote from the book. I want you to talk a little bit about it. In this quote, the main character, Brady Wilson, her high school teacher, is talking to her because Brady's in this very deep funk after the death of her sister, of course. The teacher says, "Grief is a strange animal, Brady. It hovers and hovers, and then it sees something and dives down." I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that quote.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a little bit of that comes from my own experience of having lost a husband in my 20s and knowing that the grief wasn't over and done with, you know, in a few months. It would come up in strange ways. And I imagine that those beautiful children Stoneman Douglas are going to be experiencing that same thing. You know, kids are so much closer to their somatic realities than adults are because they haven't been intellectualized to death. You know, there's a much shorter and straighter line between their bodies and their actions. And I think because they're having such public somatic reactions to threats on their lives, you know,
I can't believe that. But they're actually, the students who are speaking out and trying to organize these
right.
Gun control demonstrations.
Yeah.
They're getting battered.
I know. But they're so resilient, though. And they're so
Yeah.
I mean, the energy. What drew me to writing young adult fiction in the first place is the incredible energy that teenagers have and how strong they are and how vocal they are. I mean, you know, they may have learned how to argue in school, but the impact is real because it's coming from a physical, visceral place as opposed to sort of an intellectual, political place. So, you know, when we have Rubio on the stage and you have these kids, there's no contest, you know. They're just, I mean, Rubio's, you know, walking the walk that he's learned to walk and, you know, says
and
things
avoiding
like...
avoiding commit any kind of commitments.
Well, yeah, and saying things like, you know, oh, the NRA bought into my ideas rather than the other way around, you know, and they can see right through that. That's BS, as they have so eloquently said.
Well, I think their reaction to the shooting at least put an end to this thoughts and prayers crap.
I certainly hope so.
Yes. Which is the general Republican response, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, it's amazing that it's the young adults that have, you know, been able to have this conversation permeate in real ways that affect us all now, finally, you know. And in writing the moment before, I actually had a sense of my main character being one of those strong people, but having to deal with a very complicated and horrible emotion in the wake of her sister's death. So
did you do some studying of grief? I mean, you mentioned your personal experience with losing your husband. Did you study teenagers' losses and the responses to that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we went through the Dougie Center sort of thing, you know, my kids had a horrible a friend of theirs died suddenly at 13, too. So we kind of went through it then. And I was trying to make sure that, you know, I had some research to back up, you know, how to help them grieve and so forth.
Would you have any advice or suggestions for the shooting survivors, the teens at Parkland, the high school, Marjorie Stoneman?
Yeah, you know, I think to be patient, just be patient with it all and don't give it a timeline. You know, every you know, be happy when you're happy too. You know, you don't have to walk around in black and, you know,
they were actually criticized for that, for
isn't
kind of
that
fooling
awful?
Around. Yeah. But kids, of course, that's going to be both. They're not going to be sad all the time and dress in black and grieve.
Right. Honor your process. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say.
And Susie, can you tell our listeners how to find out more about, of course, your upcoming workshop, which starts Friday, the March 9th, and then corporeal writing in general, and maybe how to get a hold of your young adult books, starting with The Moment Before?
Well, you could look at my website. I have all that information that way.
SusieVitello.com?
Yeah, SUZYV as in Victor, ITELLO.com. Mm-hmm. And you know, even if you can't make it to my workshop this weekend, please do look up some other workshops because there's going to be a whole mess of visiting writers that come through there. And the space is wonderful. It's in downtown Portland. It's so conducive, you know, lovely big tables and bookshelves full of wonderful books by, you know, a lot of them local authors. And I'm just really looking forward to being part of that.
Oh, well, Susie, again, thanks very much for coming into KBOO and for telling us about your workshop and also talking about The Moment Before and corporeal writing.
Thank you so much, Ken.
We've been talking with Portland-based writer and teacher Susie Vitello. She'll be leading a 3-day writing workshop. It's called Diving Deep into Seeing, Find the Hidden Treasure in Your Narrative. It starts this Friday, March 9th at the Corporeal Center. Susie mentioned what a nice venue it is, 510 Southwest 3rd Avenue in downtown Portland. You can learn more about Susie's work at SusieVitello.com and about corporeal writing at corporealwriting.com. This is Ken Jones for KBOO's News in Depth.